Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I can tell you from talking backstage to today's guest, we're going to have a lot of fun today. And you know what that means? That means when we have a lot of fun, you have extra work to do. That means today, I want you to go and wake someone up. That's right. There's someone sleeping peacefully in their bed, dreaming their little dreams, but they need to hear this message today. So I want you to go over there to your roommate, your spouse, your neighbor. I don't care. Somebody needs to hear this message, and they won't hear this message unless you wake them up. Because what? Friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you are finding your friend, I'm going to make a new friend. Our first guest is Andrea Albright. Andrea is a serial entrepreneur, prolific author, and publishing mogul who is offering pure inspiration and a guiding light to entrepreneurs in her new book. As the world grapples with uncertainty, she offers a gift to those who seek to move humanity forward by giving them the tools to recognize, articulate, and implement their own unique vision and create lasting change on a global level while earning the money they deserve. Did y'all hear me? She said, while earning the money they deserve. That's all I heard out of that whole bio. Good morning. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
I am happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Yes, well, I am a publisher, I'm an author, and I specifically focus on helping people to write books that build their business. I'm an author of over 26 books myself, and I've used internet marketing and press and publicity in order to create movements in some of the most competitive industries like fitness and health and entrepreneurship and now publishing.
Okay, but you look 26. How do you get 26 books at 26? I'm confused.
Oh my gosh, you're my new best friend. Can we just hang out every day? And thank you. I appreciate that. I've written over 20 books on health and fitness. It's a big part of my life. And I'm happy to say I'm 43 years young and feeling better than when I was in my 20s.
Go, girl, you look it. We are going to be BFFs for real because I would be 45 in March. You know what I mean? We have the time of our lives right now.
Best time. 40s are amazing. And I just love to be able to inspire women. I've been on the cover of Women's Health and Fitness magazine at 37 years young. And they also interviewed me as a global thought leader because the books that I publish evolve the conversation. And that's really what the power of books can do. And that's why I became a publisher, is to help other thought leaders to share their message and create a movement in their industry.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned, though, is many times entrepreneurs have that fear that if I go and do what my passion is, or some even call that if they're calling, they won't be able to afford to pay the rent or the mortgage or pay the bills. That's the biggest fear. What do you say to them?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur for 17 years. I started my first business when I was 26 because I had a nervous breakdown in corporate America. Even though I was making great money, I didn't have meaning or purpose. And it was also a really toxic environment. And so making that switch when I did, I remember the fear, I remember the terror. And for many years, my family and my friends were so worried about me. You know, you need safety, you need security. And here we are today in the global pandemic, the vision that I had and that I believed in myself, I'm now more successful, I have a bigger impact, I have meaning in my life. And so if you are an entrepreneur with a vision, I want to inspire you to listen to that vision and tune out everybody who does not believe in you, because the visionaries of our world are the ones who are moving humanity forward. And so it's a responsibility to share the message that's coming forward. When you align with your truth, other people will show up and they will recognize the gifts that you have to share.
I don't know, but whatever you like, if you showed up in my life, whatever you were selling, I'll buy it. I'm like, I want some of that. I want some of that. Whatever she ate, just copy and paste. I want some of that too. I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Dave Collins. Dave is the founder and CEO. He's a nationally recognized trainer, facilitator, and speaker. He is the founder and CEO of Oak and Reeds, which offers practical business training to clients, including CVRE, PayPal, the Kellogg School of Management, and more. Previously, Dave was at StubHub, where he focused on building communication strategies to improve the ticket seller experience. Prior to that, Dave was a strategic consultant, and he developed workplace strategies, change management, and virtual collaboration services for government, technology, and university clients. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I got coffee. I got fun people on my Zoom, which is all I do every day. So this is great.
Dave, you're making me nervous. You're going back and forth. Like, we're swaying together now.
I'm
like,
ready. I'm ready for your questions. Okay, I'll keep still.
You don't have to. I'm just saying, I felt like we were going in a different direction. I don't even know what I'm going to ask now. Dave, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
So I mean, at its core, what I do is I teach improv to people in businesses. So Ooh. That's how I started my business. I've been performing and coaching for improv comedy for the stage since high school. Mm-hmm. So basically what I realized in, you know, like Andrea was talking about in corporate America, there's kind of this point you reach where you go, man, if only people could interact in a different way, but you can't just do that usually from inside a company. So I started my own. And I took the tools that I was learning and loving to teach people how to create comedy on the fly from scratch. I realized a lot of those same tools would be great communication tools for people in an environment where, let's say, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or they have to get up and speak, or they have to build off of someone's ideas. All those things happen every day. Those same tools are actually really useful once you take away some of the, you know, the character and the acting parts, and really give people tools to think on their feet, listen better, speak what they actually mean rather than in jargon. And it's actually really fun to learn it. So I started teaching those improv for business workshops, and then grew that into a whole other series of other trainings on skills that people brought to the table. Interviewing skills, skills for public speaking, skills for dealing with change. And also I folded in a lot of that remote work design that I was doing before. And then that, again, this year, obviously, working from home became one of my top subjects for obvious reasons. So it all kind of comes full circle on the training front. So that's really where I come from my business.
So basically you've been training for the round table talk show for like ever.
As a little boy, I had a poster of you in my room that said someday she's going to have a talk show. Someday there'll be something called Zoom. And someday I will be there on that show at 7 a.m.
I like that. But, you know, I think improv is a skill and it's an art, and the most talented people have fine-tuned that skill. When you look at some of the top movies, some of the greatest lines have been improv. So I think it's passionate. But for businesses, how do you sell that to the organization that everything is going wrong in the world? Your employees are, you know, stressed out, anxious. Okay, let's do some improv.
Yeah, so I always joke, no one hires me to fix their broken improv, right? They hire me to fix a communication challenge, a collaboration challenge. And honestly, one of the top things I've been talking about this year is overcoming your fear of failure, which I think a lot of everyone on this call can talk about that from an entrepreneurial standpoint. But as adults, you know, we learn through trial and error. And if you don't get comfortable understanding what it feels like to make an honest, good-natured mistake, rebound from that, pick yourself up and continue, you're never going to grow. And the cool part about improv is it's just a series of failures and responses to failure, right? How can you take that as a gift and create something unexpected from it? So a lot of my workshops, we spend a lot of time just dealing with what does that mistake reaction look like for you as an individual? How as a team can we support that? And how can we build good-natured mistakes into how we interact as teams so people can feel comfortable, you know, let's say working from home, your Zoom breaks or your setup isn't quite right. It's not like you can just not work from home anymore, right? You got to figure out a way to make it work. And trial and error is honestly a skill in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dave, I'm going to come back to you because I'm going to have some tests during the show, see if your improv skills are where they need to be.
I'm ready.
But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Amy McDonald. Amy is an accomplished business leader with 25 plus years of experience in the flavor, food, ingredient, and pharma biotech industries. For more than 20 years, she has led multi-million dollar global companies at the executive level. Before joining Altwell, Amy held leadership roles in various food, flavor, and ingredient companies, including Quest International, now Kerry Biosciences, Kerry, and Fona International. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Trick question for you.
Yeah.
How are your improv skills?
They are not as good as Dave's. I can tell that with absolute certainty at this point. So we'll be like trial and erroring throughout this whole call today, I think.
Well, see, we can make some magic. I don't know. Tell us about yourself, Amy.
Yeah, so I am the CEO of a company called Altwell, as you mentioned, and Altwell is, think of alternative wellness. It's a modern wellness company. What we're focused on right now is that mysterious three initials, CBD, helping people get some calm, some balance, some soothe and ease in their life through through a really wonderful plant that we use the part of it that can't get you high, but that definitely can help your system bring balance. And it's a startup company. So I've gone from companies that were massive to medium to, hey, we're getting this from the ground up going. But it was founded by the family that created Muscle Milk. If you've ever tried or had Muscle Milk, they came into this space knowing that it needed some regularity, consistency, great experience for consumers that they could trust. And I'm really fortunate to be leading the team that's helping us get there.
Why are you so passionate about it though, Amy? You're just smiling, you're glowing.
Oh, thanks. Well, I think this, I mean, I will tell you honestly, 3 years ago, I knew nothing about CBD and I was probably pretty terrified about it. Wasn't really in my space. And, but I'm a scientist by background. And as I started studying it, I realized this product could help people of all ages. I mean, my 83-year-old parents are on CBD now. To help with like those daily aches and pains and joint. And then, you know, I have 20-year-old nieces and nephews that are going through a very anxious time as we all are in our life right now. And that product can help them. I'm in my 50s myself. Sometimes when you get to certain ages, you have difficulty sleeping at night. So I'm really passionate about it because I think no matter what generation, no matter what stage of life you're in, this is a product that can really help you. And we're kind of discovering the secrets of nature in a lot of ways. I mean, this product's been out there for hundreds of years. And, you know, we're just at the tip of the iceberg in understanding what CBD can do.
That makes sense because when you see someone who's so passionate as you are, it's usually some type of personal testimony. And so when you started with your 83-year-old parents, I was like, yes, that's it. Because you see something work, you see, and you're like, okay, I got to share this with everyone. I have more questions for you, Amy, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And our next guest is a professional. He's going to help me today. He didn't know it, but he's going to help me today because this is one of those days when I need a little help. So he's going to co-host today's show, Mr. Chris Van Vliet. You may recognize him. Chris is a four-time Emmy Award-winning TV host, entertainment reporter, and YouTuber based in Miami, Florida. He has traveled the world reporting from events like the Oscars, Grammys, and the Cannes Film Festival. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. I didn't know I was the co-host now,
you
so
are.
Thank you.
Wow. I didn't even up. That's why I made you last.
This is great. So I have since moved from Miami. I'm now on the West Coast with all you guys. I'm in Los Angeles now.
Oh, welcome home. Welcome home. This is the home of Hollywood.
This is. And it's not nearly as humid here.
Yes, I went to Florida and people always talk about it. I'm like, that would ruin my hair. Like, we already talked about our hair, Chris.
Right. But I will say I'm originally from Toronto. So anything that's not snowing for 5 months of the year is fine by me.
Yes. Now I'm looking around your room. And of course, I see your awards. And I think that's beautiful. Your accomplishments. I see the Hollywood, all that. But you know what struck my eye? The first thing that struck my eye was the be great, be grateful.
And I think that if you can be grateful, you'll live a great life. And I think that especially what's going on over the last year or so it's so easy to focus on what's wrong in our lives, what's wrong in the world. But what's right is always available as well. And if you can focus on those things that are going right in your life, I think that a lot more things will start to go right. So I start and end every day by saying out loud three things that I'm grateful for. And when I'm doing interviews, whether it's on TV or my podcast or YouTube, I always end every interview by asking people, what are three things you're grateful for in your life right now? And the idea is, if we hear these celebrities talking about the things that they're grateful for, then maybe we can go, you know what? I'm pretty grateful for some stuff in my life too.
Chris, I think that's an excellent question. See, what a great co-host you are. You didn't even know. What we're grateful for, Dave? Three things.
I was just doing this with my girlfriend and partner. I am grateful, one, that I have a job I can do safely. I am grateful for the fact that I can exercise without pain. And I'm grateful for having my family close by, nearby, driving distance, so I can see them. So that's, you know, I did my homework on that one because I've been thinking about gratefulness as something that I need to work on a lot too. And saying it out loud, I think, is key. You can't just think it. You have to actually make the words happen.
Yes. Andrea.
Yes. Well, I am grateful for many things. Gratitude is also a cornerstone of my life and my mindset. And I would say right now in this moment, I am grateful for my health. I am grateful that I have found my purpose on the planet. And I'm also grateful that I'm having more and more conversations like this. I think the consciousness of humanity is at a quickening and awakening, and we are all ready for what's real, what's true, and the deeper message that is ready to be expressed in our world today.
Yes, yes. Amy?
So first, I am originally from Chicago and have been in California just for 6 months. So I'm grateful that it's not icy and snowing outside.
Yes,
that is one. And I am grateful for just being surrounded by, you know, great people, whether it's a podcast like this, my team, my family. Like, I just look and I'm just so grateful for the people in my life. And I'm grateful for an opportunity to build a company that can bring wellness to people and really love what I'm doing. And that's important to me. I mean, you've got to love what you do, right? Everyone on this call clearly has that. And it brings energy every day. And it's just awesome.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I want to copy and paste what everyone said and then add my own three. I'm just grateful to be alive. You know what I mean? It's January of 2021. You know, last year was a hard year. So I'm just grateful to be here. Second, I'm just grateful for all my friends and my family. You know, so many people lost loved ones. I could share stories that would take hours of my friends who lost people last year, you know, and I always say I'm so grateful and thankful. I still have my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, you know, most of my immediate family, all the friends I grew up with, and I'm just grateful for them being alive. And then last but not least, I'm grateful that I'm able to be of service through all of my talk shows, through the Roundtable Talk Show, and give people a platform to talk about what they're passionate about. And that's why I get up every day. It's just to be of service to everyone. How is that, Chris?
I like that, man. This is great. And everybody watching now is going, what am I grateful for? You know, it starts to spin the wheels here.
Yes, for sure. Yes.
Now, you seem humble when I speak to you, Chris, but it must have been, tell us about your journey, what it took to get to be where you are.
Well, it all started when I was 4 years old. I had a Fisher Price tape recorder and I would pretend to be a radio show host. And I'm sure my mom still has these cassette tapes somewhere. Cassette tapes, man, we're going way back with that. But I had a communication studies class in high school that I loved because we went out and we made a television program every single week. And when it came time to apply for college, I'm like, well, communication studies sounds fun. That's what I want to do. And it was great being in college, but I also realized that like when college was over, I had this huge epiphany that when college was over, we're gonna have to go to like the real world and work for the next 40 to 50 years of our life. Yeah. And in that exact moment, this was my senior year of college, I decided that I didn't wanna hate my job. I didn't wanna be one of those people who couldn't enjoy Sunday because Monday was the next day and you hated going to work. So I did the thing that you do when you're in broadcasting. I reached out to every radio station, every TV station in my college town and said, I just want to come in and see how it's done in the real world. And long story short, a volunteer position turned into a job. And I ended up being on television, and I've been on television for the last 16 years, traveling the world, interviewing some of the biggest stars in the world. I've interviewed The Rock, Denzel Washington, Steven Spielberg, Meryl Streep. The list goes on and on and on and on. And I'm obsessed with finding out the traits that make successful people successful. And I want to reverse engineer the traits that people have in common so that we can all apply them to our own life.
I think that's powerful. And I'm just noticing something. I always tell people it's because who I am and I'm a talk show host. I tend to judge people. And when I look at people, I pick up certain things. And one of the things that has changed, because I've been, you know, in entertainment, I would say at least 20 years. When I first started out, I was, everything had to be in place. I had to have the suit, the makeup. If everything wasn't perfect, I would freak out. And as now, I'm comfortable in anything. And so when I look at you and you just have on a t-shirt, it's just like you're just so comfortable in your own skin. Did it take you some time to get there?
Well, look, it'd be strange if I was wearing a suit right now, sitting in the corner of my small apartment here in Los Angeles.
But some people would, though, to make it appear, you know what I mean, that they were whoever this person they thought.
Anybody who's wearing a suit on a Zoom call is not wearing anything below their, you know, belt. Well, let's be honest.
Sharifa, I've been calling that the virtual meeting mullet, where your business up top, sweatpants down below.
That's it.
That's great.
Busted.
I'm doing that.
But Sharifa, I was fortunate to start my career working for MTV Canada, MTV2 Canada. So they were like, we want you. If you wear t-shirts, if you wear baseball caps, that's you. And I've kind of just carried that throughout my career, because on television, we're so like, we're not really listening to what people are saying. We're so much just judging them, like you're talking about. You see them on TV and you're making just judgments in your head about what they look like. And then you're listening to them. So I wanted to be real and I wanted to be authentic, and that's who I've tried to be my entire career. And I think that anybody across any different type of job, if you can be real and you can be authentic, then that's when you're going to be successful.
Yes, absolutely. Dave, what are your thoughts on what Chris had to say?
Well, my first thought is going, I want to hear about interviewing The Rock, because I have my The Rock candle.
That is so cool.
He's wearing a wig?
No, he's The Rock as Jesus. You know, whether it's appropriate or not, but I love him. My thoughts are, one, I want to hear about his wrestling show, because I love wrestling. But two, this idea of authenticity, I think, is really interesting, because, you know, I like to think I have that same mindset. However, over the holidays, I spent a lot of time redesigning my Zoom background, and I don't know what exactly it's going to say. But I do know that when I teach workshops and I'm teaching them on Zoom, immediately people start judging me based on what they can see. And all they can see right now is this little square of who I am. So I try to put little things behind there. And I've had people remark like, oh, you have baseball cards. I love collecting baseball cards. Who do you have? Like, when did that start? So I'm trying to think of ways to give people permission to ask me about who I am, because now that we're in this medium, a lot of the things that allow me to show who I am, being in person, starting conversations, you know, that was the part of my job that I loved, which was being in a room with people. When that goes away, how do you recreate that virtually? And I'm still trying to experiment. I'm still trying to figure things out there.
Andrea, your take?
Well, yes, the most powerful brands are the ones that are authentic. And what we're really talking about is how do you make the biggest impact with your voice, with your message, with the vision that's coming through you. And we are visual creatures, so we receive a lot of visual images before the mind can even process it. And so when you're looking at how do I make the greatest impact, you want to think about how am I presenting my brand, the background, the clothes I'm wearing, the way that I'm communicating. All of that makes an impression in your audience and in your market. And I even take this further to the books that I publish, because a lot of authors are just putting these books together and throwing them out there without really looking at, well, what is your authentic brand? Where are you coming from? Because when you can align with that, it will make a bigger impact and you'll attract the people whom you're meant to serve.
what if you're a new entrepreneur, you're just starting out, you can't figure out what your brand is. You're not sure, you know, you're passionate about something, like they're passionate about motorcycles, but what makes them different? What makes their, how do I find my voice in a sea of voices?
Well, this is where we get into the conversation of marketing versus branding, because marketing is about capturing the attention of an audience. You know, it's about that, oh, looking, I'm interested. But I say the brand is your promise to your audience. So it's the consistency of how you show up. And so marketing, we need a hook. We need something that's going to capture their attention. But then the brand is what's going to keep them coming back for more. And so really start to think about, what do I want to stand for? What is my message? What is the vision that's coming through me that I want to share? And the more purpose and intention you can put forth with your social media posts, with your fashion, with your appearance, with your set, that all carries a consistency of the promise. And the power of a brand is now available for everyday entrepreneurs. You don't need multi-million dollar marketing and branding budgets to start thinking about, what is the promise that I want to make and carry through to my audience?
I agree. And you represent your brand well. Like, if I were to look at you, I would just assume you were a flight attendant, just basically because of the neck, because I would, you know, my first job out of high school was TWA. That's what I see, a lot of flight attendants. But your brand also shows that you are well put together, that you take a lot of time and effort, and you are key on the details. And those things are very important.
Well, thank you. And I'm the publisher of Beverly Hills Publishing. And so we do stand for 7-star luxury branding experience. And the people whom I publish are also interested in creating that kind of brand that really brings them to the top of the industry as an authority. And so today I'm wearing a little flight attendant.
It's cute though.
Which was funny. That's actually what I thought when I put it on. But it is the intention, the purpose, the self-care. And then this is how I feel the best so that I can deliver the message once I get the opportunity to speak with you.
You are beautiful. You are amazing. Amy, what are your thoughts on leadership in the conversation so far?
Yeah, I love that we've been talking about authenticity and purpose. And I think those are two things that are really core to me. I've got some years in all of you guys. I'm in my mid-50s. So you kind of get to a stage in your career and in your leadership where it's really about mentoring others and bringing out the true self in those that are coming up in their careers. And I think really getting to scratch below the surface, you know, peeling those layers away and figuring out what brings people energy. I talk about that a lot with my teams. Pay attention to where you get energy from. Pay attention to what's taking your energy. Try to move that balance. And I think that helps people find their purpose. It can help a brand find purpose. And I think through that, you kind of get an authenticity, a realness about you. I mean, I'm a scientist, so like kind of trained not to be very expressive, be very factual. But when it comes to leadership, you know, you've got to really show like what's underneath and inside and what makes you your heartbeat. So I think that energy language really gets to purpose for me. And I think that's really the key to success in getting the most out of your team, finding their sweet spots and driving a business forward.
Absolutely. No. Dave, Amy mentioned energy, and I know with improv, whenever I hear improv, that just equals energy. You know, I tell people a lot of times, they're like, Sharifa, you're so animated. I'm like, yeah, that's when I'm up. You know what I mean? So often you have to put on that personality in order to have that energy. You understand what I'm saying, Dave?
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I would say, it's kind of a misconception, because I would say some of the best improvisers, some of the funniest people bring an energy on stage that is unique to them that you might say is low energy, but it is specific and unique, and their point of view comes through so clearly that you wouldn't want it any other way. Mm-hmm. I would say when I coach beginning improvisers, one of the things I often have to do for those level one, level kind of beginning people is turn down that energy volume and just be a human being. right? No. Just be a human being on stage. You don't have to be at 10,000 watts, because when you get cranked up that level, you don't react like a real person. And what is actually super interesting about improv is once you get people feeling comfortable, you know, some of the mechanics of being on stage are a little weird. Once you start to hear how they interpret someone else's new idea, you have to remind them over and over that your unique point of view and your unique way of processing a new idea is interesting, right? You don't have to make it robots and dinosaurs and spaceships. Just make it a scene between two friends sitting on a bench. And I promise you that the way you do that scene is going to be interesting and different from the way I'm going to do that scene. And as long as I can see two people react like a person rather than like some sort of comic book character, it's going to be an interesting scene. And once you can almost see that light go on in their head when that light bulb goes off and says, oh, wow, I can just do the next thing on stage. And that's interesting to watch. Because I could show you a bunch of improv books on here, but the whole thing comes down to truth in comedy. You want to hear and see people on stage doing things like people do. And that is fascinating, right? That is the most fascinating thing in the world. Just like a great stand-up points out the obvious that we never really realized, a great improviser goes, oh my gosh, I do that same thing, that little subtle thing when I eat, or that little subtle thing when I'm waiting for the bus and I'm looking around, whatever it is. When we can see reality and truth reflected back to us, you could have a scene about absolutely nothing at all and have it be mesmerizing for 10 minutes.
I think that's powerful. I think my problem is that I'm always at 10,000 watts, you know? So I have to figure out like, what do normal people do? Like, what do normal people do? Cause I'm always like so animated. I'm always all over the place. I have to figure that one out.
Can I mention something here, Sharifa, too? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, I think what I love about what Dave's bringing to the business world from improv is it's really about whether you're coaching or mentoring people or you're selling something or interacting. It's about staying in the moment, right? And listening to what someone else is saying through body language or verbally, whatever it might be, and not kind of getting ahead of yourself. And I think that's a great skill. Like when I think back about in my sales career and leading salespeople, what's their biggest mistake? Their biggest mistake is they plan what they're going to do and they don't stay in the moment. And I just love that you've put the twist on bringing it to the business world, because it definitely is an aha moment in a career that I've had along the way. And I think that if we all pay attention more to each other in the moment, like that just brings so much authenticity to the world, and we need to hear each other right now, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Chris, your thoughts?
I think the reality is we're improvising all the time, right? We don't live by a script. And I think that's, man, this is fascinating, Dave. This is fascinating that this is your specialty, and this is something that you focus on, because this is every second of every day. We're improvising, waiting for the light to change when we're driving our car. We're improvising when we make a phone call. We don't know what that person's going to say on the other end of the line. And I think that that's fascinating. And if you can be your real authentic self, it can be 10,000 watts, Sharifa. That's okay. I'm at like 9,999 watts. I can't quite keep up to your level there. That's a big level there. But if that's who you authentically are, then that's who people are going to relate to. And I think that we all can kind of sniff out that BS. If someone's not being authentic, it's so easy to sniff that out. And the last thing you want to do is deal in the business world with someone who's not being authentic.
Yes, I agree. But for me, our joke in my family is everyone's a comedian. Everyone's a comedian. And we turn everything into comedy. But I grew up with my brother, my sister, my family watching stand-up comedy. I was tuned in. Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Richard Pryor, all the greats. I love comedy. So now in the business world or personal, when it gets too quiet or, you know, when it's too serious, that I got to start cracking jokes, because it just lifts the moment and it changes it. Makes people feel good to laugh. Laughter heals.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, laughter heals. And it also, it creates, you know, I do a lot of team buildings, and I put team building in quotes, right? Where a group needs to get together. I'm not building the team. The team's there, right? All I can do is give them permission to try out a couple new ways of dealing with each other. And I think that's really important when a team can have a shared experience. You know, this is my plug for Oak and Reeds, right? We do this, but what it does is it creates these moments that you can look back on and say, hey, like John from accounting, you know, he may really be pissing me off this morning, but I do remember that moment when we could laugh together, be on exactly the same page doing this exercise. I'm going to call on that memory and give him or her or they the benefit of the doubt the next time, because I know that we have this ability to connect at this point. Maybe not today, but it's there. And I think when you can do that on a regular basis with a team, that's what trust building looks like. That's living your value of collaboration, not just talking about it. I always joke, you know, values often are just words on a sign on a wall in a conference room. But when you actually live them through behaviors, that's when teams get really, really strong.
I definitely agree. Andrea, one of the things that you talked about is the brands. And over the last year in COVID, I've watched a lot of brands, and some of the brands I've really questioned, you know, how authentic they were. I always give this one example that I love. I was watching a Verizon Wireless commercial, and even the music and the tone was like, oh, we're here to help you. You know, and then you hear the host, he's like, we're here to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on VerizonWireless.com. And I was like, okay, is that new? Is that like, you know, haven't that always been there? So it didn't resonate with me. It didn't make me feel like they were being authentic. If they would have put a special call center or customer service team in place to handle those calls, I would have felt that they cared. Maybe that's just me.
Well, what you're referencing is part of the global consciousness that we are all awakening to. You know, more and more people are tuned in to their inner thoughts, their inner feelings. You could even say like psychic abilities if you want to go there. And it's not just you who's experiencing this. Humanity as a collective is now resonating on deeper levels of intuition and emotion. And so this is back to the authenticity. If you are trying to coerce or trying to inflict an unnatural response, people can tune into it. And, you know, the beginning of social media, I've been on the internet since 2006. And so I saw the change of social media turned on all the lights. You can no longer just be a corporation or a business with a forward-facing marketing, branding, deployment tactic without actually having the back-end compassion and care for your community and the people who are interacting with your business and your service. And so it's all part of this quickening, this awakening to truth, to alignment. And the great thing is when you are an entrepreneur who has a vision to help humanity, now is the best time in our history to get your message out there. And so it's just a clearing away of what's no longer working and an opportunity for the emergence of truth, authenticity, and true service to humanity to rise.
I'm just saying, whatever you, I just want to buy you just all 26 books, or just send them to me. I want everything. Your plan. What do you do? How do you just take people, coach them? I want to sign up for whatever it is, webinar, teleseminar, whatever. Count me in.
Love it. Well, thank you. No one's ever bought all 26 books of mine at one time before.
I want everything.
That's great.
Chris, your thoughts.
Look, it's a completely different world now, and the gatekeepers are gone. Yeah, if you wanted to go live like we're doing right now 10 years ago, you needed to buy a TV station and then hire people to work in that TV station. The fact that we now walk around with this supercomputer in our pocket has completely changed everything. And Andrea completely nailed it when she said that, you know, it's a different world now, and we're able to be authentic, and we're able to put our brand out there in a way that we weren't able to do this before. And I think that social media has completely changed the game. And I'm sick and tired of people saying that social media is this bad, evil thing. Social media is a tool. And a knife is also a tool. Amen. A knife can be used to perform surgery, and a knife can also be used to stab someone. How do you want to use that tool? And it used, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, if you wanted great marketing, you wanted great branding, you had to spend a whole bunch of money, put that out there, put that marketing out there, put that message out there. now you can put it on social media. If you have a great message, people are going to find that message. And I think that it's important right now to key in on that. And also it's super important to key in on whatever your niche is. Be the best at that thing. Be the best at whatever you're the best at. Instead of trying to be something to everybody, instead of trying to be the buffet, be the steakhouse of whatever it is that you are absolutely the best in the world at.
See, I'm signing up for all kinds of classes today. This is what I do. I learn from the best. I'm gonna be a steakhouse. Chris said I could
be a steakhouse.
That's right.
Yes, I love it. Amy, are you a steakhouse? Is your company?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think we talked about authenticity. I think transparency is another really key word. And I think, Sharifa, what you mentioned, like with that Verizon commercial or whatever it was, like it just didn't pass, as Chris said before, the sniff test, right? It didn't feel like it fit because they weren't being transparent about what was really different for them, because maybe nothing was. And I think as consumers, we're just getting smarter and smarter with the help of social media, with the help of great access to lots of tools. And through that, like, transparency and honesty there is key, because otherwise, you know, it gets found out. And you got to be on the right side of what true purpose is, and, you know, how your core beliefs are putting all that information out there, because consumers are smart. They're getting smarter, and that's going to continue to happen. So let's be real with our products and be transparent about it.
Do you feel that it becomes more difficult as companies grow and expand to keep that same authenticity?
I do. I think it's really important to hold on to purpose. Like when I think of Altwell, this business was created because the matriarch of the family had a really scary incident with some drug interactions for pharmaceutical products. Mm-hmm. And they almost lost her. I mean, she's the grandmother of 19, great grandmother, 4 children. And Greg, who's the founder, he said, you know, we're not taking this chance anymore. We're going to go find a natural alternative. And when they explored to try to find natural alternatives, they had lots of different experiences. So, you know, back to that purpose, that story that we tell our consumers and talk about our brand with, is a real event that happened that, you know, brings emotion to it. And I think that's really critical in just, you know, being real, back to being real.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dave, we've been talking about being real, being authentic, being transparent, something some companies suffer with. What are your recommendations?
Yeah, I think I'm listening to everyone. I'm really enjoying these points of view. And I think being real is something I work with a lot with companies when it comes to bringing in new people, right? Interviewing talent and then hiring and onboarding people. And I think one of the things I always start with interviewing is values, right? What are your company values? What do you actually believe? And what do those look like on a day-to-day basis? And I think a lot of times people don't take the time to really define a value into something you can observe in a one-to-one interaction. All right, it's all well and good to say we believe in team, all right, or we believe in collaboration, but how do you actually point to that? And that can mean very different things to different people, to different organizations, and to different, you know, people from different backgrounds, from different age levels, from different educational backgrounds. And I think a lot of companies often trip themselves up when they talk about culture. And they think about hiring for culture. And I really always try to push back on that and move the conversation to hiring for values. Because when you hire for values, someone can come in that door and completely surprise you, right, by the way they talk about their work. But when an organization tries to hire for culture, they end up hiring for same. They hire for what they look like or think like or where they come from right now, because that's a cultural fit. Right. And I think really smart organizations recognize that your company culture will always and has to change as people come in the door and out the door. And if you have a good, solid set of values, those stay the same. Right. We will always be team focused. We will always listen. We will always support each other. And you can come in and do that in a new way and move our culture forward. And that's exceptional. that's not everyone. Not every organization works that way. Certainly not every organization thinks that way. And I think it's something that a lot of smart companies are going to have to make that flip from hiring for culture to hiring for values. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that looks in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
I think that's very interesting. What it's been my experience that many companies hire because they need to fill a position more than anything else. I have an open spot. I have to get this position filled. I really not too focused on the vision, too focused on the culture. I just need somebody who can answer the phones. I just need a qualified engineer who knows EDI, you know, and then that person comes into the organization and we're like, oh my God, this person is not a fit.
Yeah, and I think the answer to that, and that's often the pushback from a hiring manager, let's say. But the challenge there is the cost of hiring the wrong person is always going to be much higher than the cost of waiting another 2, 3, 4 weeks to find that right person. And in that immediate rush to fill a role, you take shortcuts, and those shortcuts have the cost of them. You don't see it right away. It comes down the line when that person torpedoes that team or that department or that entire organization. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in loss when you really look at how a mishire can completely ruin a well-functioning organization. But the challenge is those costs aren't immediate, but the benefit is immediate to hiring that person. So really strong talent leaders, you know, you can put all the case studies you want in front of people, but you kind of have to have that. We can't just put butts in seats, right? We got to bring in talented people. Otherwise, we're shooting ourselves in the foot long-term.
Absolutely. Amy, I would love your thoughts.
Yeah, I just was going to go back to like the question that you asked about, like as a company gets bigger, and I completely agree with what Dave's mentioning about hiring, but I think it's really also about onboarding and how you bring someone into that organization and telling them those initial founder stories about what makes that company tick and what purpose that company or that brand serves. Because as you get bigger and you have multiple layers, it's really hard to keep those stories alive and on top of everyone's mind. And ultimately, that's what drives growth, right? Back to that purpose, back to why did this company initially connect with consumers to bring and fill what gap? What was their why? And as you put somebody in a new position, might be 100% the right person, but if you don't onboard them correctly and caretaking them through that journey of the why behind your company, you can easily fail there too and disenfranchise and disengage that person, even though they were the perfect fit. And I think too few of us pay a lot of attention to that onboarding. I mean, we're so grateful that, great, we've got this new person in the role, we found it, check that box, move on, keep going, get that engine going. But you've got to really embrace, educate, tell those stories with that person and make sure that that fit continues to thrive. Or you've done disservice to both that individual as well as your organization.
Absolutely. Andrea? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm loving the conversation. And of course, I'm a publisher, so I'm always going to go back to books, right? And some Read. Of our clients use the books as the way to carry forward the vision of the company. And so this is what I mean by using the book to build your business. Some of our CEOs say, you can't even apply to work for my company unless you buy my book, you read it. And then in the interview process, we talk about your feedback. What did you learn from the book? And so just getting that brand aligned with the vision, with the mission, so books can become a powerful tool to carry on the legacy of the founder and also making sure the integrity of the core values of the organization are staying in the top focus of what are we talking about? What is the story here? And so again, I think books are a great way to make sure that your vision, your message, and your story is carried forward with everyone you bring into your organization.
I definitely agree. It always reminds me of when I was growing up, I tried to ask my parents questions and they refused to answer any of my questions. That was my childhood. They would tell me, look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. That no matter what my question was, that's what they will always tell me. And now my kids are, they'll be 24 and 27 this year. And so they were growing up trying to ask me questions and they would ask me whatever, how do you do this math? And I'd be like, G-O-O-G-L-E. That was my answer for everything, you know? So I think that's important to be familiar. And, you know, so many times I've interviewed potential new employees and they have absolutely no idea what the company is, what we do, what our product is. And I ask a lot of questions to see how much research they've done. This has definitely been a very interesting conversation and I am enjoying it, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Amy.
Gosh, I mean, first thing I would say, if you heard this message, go tell 10 friends to watch the show, because I know I've had a lot of takeaways from authentic and real to the whole idea of improv and connecting that with business. So, but my key message would be tell 10 friends to go watch this. It'll be an hour well spent. And thank you so much for having us here today.
You are so welcome, Amy. Thank you. Dave, what do you want to tell the people?
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for being such a fun group to chat with today. And I would say, you know, to quickly plug Oak and Reeds, if you're interested in any of these ideas around what does our company values look like in practice? How can we communicate and work together as a team a little more effectively? And also more importantly, right now, what does all of that look like virtually? That's probably the most important topic that's top of mind right now, which is how do we create a culture in an organization where we can't ever be in the same room for at least the near future. These are some of the things I'm working with people on, and some of the things I'm really passionate about is living these behavioral values when we're working and communicating and connecting online. So my website is oakandreeds.com, and you can learn all sorts of stuff there. We've got a great email newsletter with lots of really practical tools on our blog about little exercises you can bring to your team and do them online to help practice some of these ideas. Because I think the biggest message I'll leave everyone is you don't become an expert just by reading Andrea's books, right? You got to do it. You got to actually practice the things. You have to be bad at them until you're good at them. And I think that's the biggest message, is give yourself permission to make good-natured mistakes. And you're going to get better so much faster than the person who's afraid to look a little silly in front of your colleagues. That's kind of the biggest message I'd leave everyone with.
What's your ideal client?
My ideal client is who can hire me. No, I think my ideal client is
who
an organization.
Has the biggest check? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, do you have a checkbook? No, I'm kidding. It's an organization that wants to commit to training their employees how to grow. So I typically work with learning and development and HR leaders, companies that are growing, companies that have people that are moving into roles that they're maybe first-time managers or trying to take on bigger roles, and they need to develop these skills. So I work with large corporate clients here in the Bay Area, tech companies, but lawyers, advertising agencies, real estate companies, all sorts of different groups. So basically, I joke, if you have a company that has meetings, you should hire Oak and Reeds.
Okay, we might have to change that, because I have a company and I have employees, but I'm anti-meeting. We don't meet. I just send them a couple of emails.
If you talk to someone, if you talk to a human being, I'll level it up.
I'll go for that. Thank you, Andrea.
Well, thank you so much, Sharifa, for this amazing talk. We've all been able to share our views, our expressions, and it's just been so much fun. You're an amazing hostess. And I would love to leave the viewers with a gift. I'm all about giving from abundance, and I publish authors, but even if you and I don't work together, if I'm not your publisher, I'd love to support you in publishing your book, sharing your message with the world. So I have a free gift at AndreaAlbright.com. It's a $100,000 book launch implementation guide so that you can make six figures or more on your next book. Because I believe that if authors understand the business of publishing, that we will have more people sharing their message, sharing their views. I believe authors are the visionaries of the world, and that they can solve all of humanity's problems as long as they can get the resources to publish and share their message. So that's at AndreaAlbright.com.
Okay, you know, I want to make sure I understood your offer and your gift, because you're going to give $100,000 worth of information for free. And free is my favorite number, by the way. So for free, so that people can make over six figures.
That's correct. It's actually millions of dollars of information, but if you follow the implementation checklist of how to do a book launch, you will make six figures or more. Some of my clients make six figures on one stage. So it's, that's just the basic, the baseline. The, you know, let's get to six figures and beyond for every author out there, because now we're talking about an author revolution.
Mm, I love it. An author revolution. I have never heard of such. And what is your website again?
AndreaAlbright.com.
Yes, ma'am. And my co-host, Chris, what do you have for us?
Well, Sharifa, thank you for being such a great host. And Dave, Amy, Andrea, thank you guys for bringing your insights to this conversation. What a way to kick off our Tuesday. I love that.
Yes. Go California. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Early in the morning.
Sorry. Yeah. The thing I want to leave people with is be specific about what it is that you want. If there's something that you want, if there's someone out there doing the job that you want or doing the thing that you want, that just means it's possible for you to do it as well. Maybe they're at step 17 and you're at step one, but just reverse engineer those steps, 17, 16, 15, back to where you are. And I always say vague goals get vague results. And here we are at the start of a new year. Everyone set their New Year's resolutions, and most of them are just such terrible New Year's resolutions. I want to lose some weight. Well, if you lose 1 pound this year, you have lost some weight. Congratulations. Be specific about what it is you want. I want to lose 10 pounds by July 1st. I want to grow my business to $1 million by December 31st. Whatever it is, get specific about what it is that you want to do this year. You can find my podcast, The Chris Van Vliet Show, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you could subscribe to my YouTube channel, that'd be amazing. We're closing in on 300,000 subscribers. So please join the crew. And as I mentioned earlier, and Dave, you picked up on this, I'm a bit of a wrestling fan. So if you want to talk about pro wrestling, we can talk about pro wrestling.
Is that what you talk about your podcast? Ooh, we were supposed to get a quick Rock story real quick.
Oh, I will tell you the best piece of advice that I ever got. I've interviewed The Rock 9 times. Not that I'm counting or anything like that.
Can I interview him once? Can you?
I don't know. I need my 10th time, so I don't know. I interviewed The Rock for Ballers, the TV show where he plays a retired football player. And it was The Rock's goal, The Rock's dream in life to be an NFL player. And that obviously didn't work out for The Rock. He ended up taking a completely different path. And I said, if you could go back and change anything to actually live that dream that you had as a kid, would you do that? And he goes, no, I wouldn't change anything, because the best things in life are the things that don't happen. And it's so true. Sometimes you think that things are supposed to go a very specific way, and then you veer off. And if you can veer off and go with that, you can have an incredible life, an incredible career. And I think that Dwayne Johnson's a perfect example of that.
Yes, I also think you are an incredible example of that. You are amazing. All of our guests were amazing today. I had such a great time. It was fun. I want to thank you all for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching this show in the archives. I appreciate your support. You know I do. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing. But as always, I ask for a little bit more. Please support our guests. Our guests got up early in the morning in California, early this morning to be here with you. So please support them. Their websites are in the Facebook post. Visit their websites, follow them on social media, send them a message. And when you contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.